Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Folks, we did this right. We served this meal correctly. We gave you the appetizer, which was the NFL the other day. It was perfect because we didn't know the meal of the NBA was going to taste this good. And it has been insane. Oh my God. Let me tell you what's in the MIP report today. Kevin Durant has a legacy. Performance. And speaking of legacy, Kawhi Leonard out indefinitely. That puts so much pressure on Paul George, who will need to produce a legacy performance. And Chris Paul has worked so hard to get to this point for his legacy, and now he's out because of COVID? Oh my God. Story number one of the MIP report. Kevin Durant. I tweeted it the other day. I tweeted, wow. This is why we watch sports and this is why we love sports. You never know. It looked like Brooklyn Nets were going to sweep the Milwaukee Bucks. And then Kyrie Irving gets hurt and that thing flipped upside down. And I've been talking about this. I said, wow, this is what's insane because the stories around the story is what I love. Dig into the story around the story. Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma and goes to a stacked team in Oakland with the Golden State Warriors. Stacked team. He leaves Oakland, leaves Golden State Warriors, and build a stacked team in Brooklyn. And then he finds himself all alone. What an incredible story. You leave a very good young team that some said was stacked even in the day. Because remember, when he was in Oklahoma, he was stacked. He had him, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, even though they were young. Even if they were young with Ibaka, they had some talent over there. And he left that young stock team because they were immature, not ready to win. Went over to Golden State. It was stacked. He had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and they had won championships over there. Then he formed his own stacked team with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. All of that to end up right here with none of your stack, and you got to drag this team yourself. You have to drag this team. And what did he do? He dragged their asses right on across that finish line. When I was watching it, I said to myself, I know I started to tweet this, folks. I started to say, I started to tweet, if Kevin Durant can pull this off, it will put him in the stratosphere with Jordan and LeBron. Even though he has said it doesn't matter, he's not after that. I don't know if that was all truth or if that was just pain speaking. You know, when I think about it, you go back. And I was reading this article. We were talking about this article. My producer and I, Sean, we were talking about this article back in 2013. What Kevin Durant, he said it. He said, I've been second my whole life. See, if it don't matter, if it really don't matter, I don't need to be compared to LeBron or Michael Jordan. If it really don't matter, if it really didn't matter, I don't think he would have been saying this. But in 2013, he said, I've been second my whole life. Second best player in high school. Second pick in the draft, second in MVP voting three times, second in the NBA Finals. I am tired of being second, and I'm not going to settle for that. Now, if you ain't going to settle for being second, you certainly ain't going to settle for being third. So stop saying it don't even matter what people think when it comes to LeBron and Jordan, and just do what you did last night. Make these kind of plays and let us put you up there. That's all I'm saying. Take over games like this. Stop fighting it with that defense mechanism. Put up 49, 15, and 10, things that no one has ever done before in situations like that. And let us measure you accordingly. That's why, guys, I always say to you, I measure men in distance travel. When you do this, when you drag a team across, I got to measure that accordingly. And I say drag because I know James Harden was on that floor, but James Harden wasn't even the James in James Harden. You know, people say, oh, he was a shell of himself. No, it was worse than a shell of himself. It was, you know, he did a great job. And it showed great courage for him being out there. It showed great, he's a great teammate, great heart, and he showed how much his teammates matter by being out there. But you know that James Harden is a pure scorer, and he couldn't hit the side of a barn last night. And I think that plays in Kevin Durant's favor in this situation, because when he takes over a game like this, everybody needs to know that you can do this. Kevin Durant said himself, it wasn't that he couldn't do it. It's since he's been around all those stacked teams, I told you, he's never needed to do it. We've watched Jordan do it. We watched LeBron do it. But Kevin Durant never needed to do it from the first days in. Remember back in Oklahoma when the game was on the line, the people got upset because Russell Westbrook kept taking the ball. And Kevin Durant didn't go and say, give me the ball and get out the way, you know. So we wanted to see it, and we saw it. And when that game first started, I thought, is he going to fight P.J. Tucker or not? Because it didn't seem like he was prepared to fight P.J. Tucker. But what he was doing was saying, I can't waste my energy on arguing and going back and forth with this mess. I need to save this energy to set your ass on fire in that late in the game. And boy, he was nothing but kerosene in matches. He set his ass on fire. I was like, oh, my God, dude. And it looks like to us a wild shot. You remember that clock going down, that three-pointer he shot? It looked like to me, I said, that's a wild shot. Oh, my God, that ain't going nowhere. Man, it hit nothing but dirty draws. Bam, right in the bottom of the net. It looked like a wild shot because he looked off balance to me. The layman, to you maybe, but not to him. It was a perfect shot. He got it off, and it fell dead in the bottom of the net. Man, I'm going to tell you something. That was one of the greatest games in NBA history. Now, what must happen for it to get its due for the rest of history is they got to win a championship. If they win this series and Brooklyn goes on to win a championship, this is the game that everybody pulls out, and it becomes one of the greatest performance in NBA history. If the Brooklyn Nets can go on and win an NBA title, one of the greatest performance in NBA history. And this thing will put Kevin Durant up in that stratosphere near Jordan and near LeBron because he dragged the team. I don't think he ever would have gotten anywhere near it because he's been on all these stacked teams. But performance like last night, right in the midst of his greatest pain, brought up so much beautiful promise. It was beautiful to watch. It was absolutely beautiful to watch. Now, in the NFL, we call it the same. 1 week. You got 1 week, you know, and then we want to know what you're going to do next. In the NBA, you don't even get that week, Kevin Durant. We need to know what you gonna do next right away. The game is right around the corner. You got it right now where you need it. You're up 3-2. That was a crucial game five, and you showed up, showed out. Now let's see what you do in game six. If Kevin Durant can do another one of these in game six and they win the series and get just any bit of rest and to get healthy, oh, my God. If he does this again and they win game six, oh, my God, I'm going to just wait. I'm going to wait. We'll talk about that. But I'm going to tell you something. When I saw him scoring, I said, oh, my God, that's why I had to get my man. And I'm going to tell you something. Who will join the MIP today, I had to go and get him. I said, man, you can't stop this man. Who can't stop him? Who could stop him? The glove. That's who could do it. The glove. I got the glove coming on. I need to talk to somebody that has some great defense and say, what would you do against a monster like this? You don't want to miss what the glove had to say, how he would have to play the great Kevin Durant and that performance he put on last night. Let's get to story number two of the MIP report. Kawhi Leonard out indefinitely for the LA Clippers with that knee injury. There's so much in this, I don't know what to say. Because it comes down to this, guys. Was this a successful venture? Kawhi Leonard can't opt out his deal next year. He didn't win last year. You know what went on in the bubble. And now, you know, all the talks that came out of the bubble last year was, you know, the pressure that Paul George felt in the bubble. He couldn't perform. He needed all, you know, whatever he needed to talk to people, talk to him in his head and deal with what's going on in the bubble. You think that was pressure in the bubble? You think that was pressure in the bubble? I'm talking about that pressure that's about to hit Paul George when he stepped back on that court. That's going to be pressure because now that Kevin Durant put up a legacy game, all the Clipper fans are looking for Paul George to put up one of those legacy games because they gave up just about their whole future legacy for him. Didn't they get like a 40-45 first-round pick to get Paul George over there? They got first-round picks that weren't even born from the Clippers to get Paul George to the Clippers. That's what Kawhi Leonard wanted. And now Kawhi Leonard is out. Paul George, the pressure falls on you. You will not win a championship in professional sports without passing every grade. You know, so you say, oh, pressure gets to me. You're going to have to see pressure before you get to a championship. On a football team, you know, team can throw great, but they can't run the football. Oh, you're going to have to run before you can win a championship. Oh, the team can run great, but they can't throw the football. Oh, you're going to have to throw. Ask Lamar Jackson about it. You have to throw before you can win the championship. Ask the Tennessee Titans. You see what I'm saying? Whatever you don't do great, you will have to do it. You will have to pass that grade before you can win a championship in professional sports. Paul George, your pressure class is up. You got to go and get a passing grade, an outstanding grade under this pressure. You got to do a Kevin Durant-like game where you pull those guys across the finish line. And I just don't know if it's possible. Paul George has been teetering on that superstar level. We've thrown them in there when we put it together. Oh, they got two stars with the Clippers, and you're kind of throwing him in there. Now it's time to show that he belongs in there. It's time for Paul George to show that he belongs in there. It's not Indiana. You're not in a place where all they love basketball to death and just play hard and everybody's going to be happy. You're in LA, buddy. Playing hard, everybody ain't going to be happy. Winning is what they do in LA. And what does that do? That puts more pressure on you. You got to pass this grade, buddy. You got to move that tassel on that cap from one side to the other when it comes to pressure. And that we will see now that Kawhi Leonard is out. Story number three of the MIP report. And this blows my mind, folks. How do you work to overcome all the things that Chris Paul has worked to overcome to get to this point? Chris Paul out with COVID. He's fought through the injury thing with the Clippers. It was him, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. Always one of them hurt when it came playoff time. Then he gets out and he goes over to Houston. He has him right there in Houston. And he's hurt. Oh, my God. And they were playing so great. It was like, and even this playoff, he started the playoff. First game, shoulder, hurt. He fights through all of that and puts on an incredible performance the other day. The way, man, this man came down, right, every elbow, top right elbow, boom, came down. He hit four or five shots in a row. I said, oh, my God. It was like, I'm not getting this close and being denied. I'm going to show everybody. I've been waiting on this moment. I got here, and I will not be denied. And he showed out. You know, the Kevin Durant game was great, and it's one of the greatest performances I've seen. That Chris Paul performance was right up there, too, now. That was right up there. We can say we've seen some individual performance. That's why I say this playoff, NBA playoffs, been on fire. The NBA performance out of those two guys right there. And then you couple that with what we've seen these young dudes do, the Bookers and the Mitchells and the Ja Morants and the Lucas. And oh my God. Oh my, if you haven't been an NBA fan, then I don't know. Just let me put my hand right there where your pulse is supposed to be and see if you are alive, because this has been that great. It really has been. It has really been that great watching it and watching the storylines, man. But the Chris Paul being out on COVID after fighting through all you have fought through to be out on with COVID, I wish I can right now go in. There's some way I can measure how many numbers shot up on vaccination, especially guys in the NFL. Because right now, you have to be sitting home saying, oh my God, I can't let this happen. I can't let this happen, especially if you're a quarterback. I would like to know how many starting quarterbacks in the NFL has gotten vaccinated. Now, I've heard that Jalen Rose said that Chris Paul is vaccinated. And I don't know. I don't know. But I heard they said that. I heard them talk about it on TV. So, but I don't know. But if he isn't, wow. Whoever is important to your team, as important Chris Paul is to his team, if you weren't vaccinated, I would like to see how many people ran and said, give me my vaccination. Just because I think that story right there is the best story for being vaccinated. Just regardless, the best story for being vaccinated. You can't get to this point where all this hard work you put in, your dream, you're right there. You got the possibility of even meeting your Clippers team in the Western Conference Final. It's very, very hard to do now that Kawhi Leonard is out. But it's still dangling right there if we get that performance we were just talking about from Paul George. So absolutely, this is a crazy story, man. Chris Paul out. I just feel so bad for him. I really do. I feel so bad for him. And I don't know how it's going to affect him. How is it hurting? Is he asymptomatic, or is he really feeling everything? Is it making his chest tight? Is he getting? I don't know. But he'll have to come back and play. And we watch guys like James Harden, who's been out a minute. You saw James Harden couldn't hit the side of a barn. So just thinking, you're not going to just pop in and play when you're sitting out for a while. So at least hopefully he'll be able to run and move and it doesn't attack his chest so much, and he will be able to come back and be somewhat of what he was or prior to this thing hitting him, because Chris Paul was playing some of the best basketball, certainly of his life, his career, and in the NBA. He was leaving his mark. All of this, we will talk about with my man, 9-time all-defensive NBA team. First team. 9 times. 9 times. He only got 10 digits on both hands. So 9 times, that means the glove can cover you all the way around. 9-time all-defensive first team, Gary Payton on the MIP. The glove next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. today. That's Geico.com. Joining the MIP, this man Hell from Oakland, California. That famed Skyline High School in Oakland, California. He went to school at Oregon State. In 1990, he was consensus All-American and the Pac-10 Player of the Year. Drafted in the NBA. He became a 9-time NBA All-Star, 2-time All-NBA first team, 5-time All-NBA second team, 2-time All-NBA third team. In those 9 years also, 9-time, get this, 9-time NBA All-Defensive first team. 9 times. Oh, that's insane, right? 9-time All-NBA defense, first team, 2-time gold medalist in the Olympics, and an NBA champion. He was so bad doing it, they gave him the moniker, the glove. That means you're covered because he is the glove. Joining me on my piece. It's my brother, Gary Payton, the glove.
GP. What's up, my brother? You know you my loved one, man. Anytime.
GP, listen, man, I've done a lot of introductions. That one right there just does something to me, buddy. It leads right into what I'm talking about. Because, you know, we had other plans today. I wanted to talk to some people about some other things. But I'm watching this game last night with Kevin Durant. And I'm everywhere. I'm going crazy. I'm watching like, oh, my God. And I had already told Sean, my producer, and I was like, man, you know what? That series switched so quickly with all those injuries. I said, but what a story it would be. Kevin Durant, who joined the 73-winning super team, left that super team, built the super team, and then have to drag a team because of injuries across the finish line. And he hadn't dragged him across the championship line, but he dragged him across that finish line last night. He was putting on such a great performance. I said, who can stop this man? And you came to mind. That's why you on MIP today. Let's talk about, what did you think when you saw that game last night by Kevin Durant?
Mike, I wasn't even surprised. You know, I watched him here in Oakland when he was playing in the finals with the Warriors. And he won 2 MVPs in the finals. It was because of him. They went through him. I said it before this series even started or the playoffs started. If the Brooklyn Nets know, if Steve Nash go have a plan and say, we're going through Kevin Durant, nobody else, not Harden, not Kyrie Irving, we're going through Kevin Durant, they're going to win an NBA championship because he's a guy that can do it. He's almost 7 feet tall. He can shoot the ball lights out. He can shoot over anybody. He can put it on the floor. And what the good thing about it is, he's starting to play defense now. He's starting to play and move his puppies, man. He's starting to do everything he has to do. But last night's performance, wasn't a big surprise to me because I thought Milwaukee was so – what they did was they was keep putting in the pick and roll, high pick and roll, coming across half court, and you had Brooks Lopez – I mean, you know, Brook Lopez in the middle of nowhere. And when you're in the middle of nowhere as a big man on him, if you bag up, he's going to take two dribbles and pull up, and it was all draws. Nothing but net. Then all of a sudden, you come up, he go right by you and he get a foul or you fouling him and he get into the bucket. It was no adjustment there, so Milwaukee got killed. They got ate up, and that's what he does. He's going to make shots, and I don't get it. Why not call a timeout, switch it, and say, look, Lopez, you get out. We're going to have you, this man on the big man. Once Durant comes off the pick, trap him. Make Jeff Green or somebody else beat me instead of you. Yeah. Why not do that? Because it's no problem. Let him make somebody else beat him. He's got 46. Come on. Make somebody else beat you. And that's why we don't have adjustments in the NBA no more, because they don't practice that. They don't practice that. I know he looking at film today, the head coach of Milwaukee Bucks, and saying, what was I doing? Why not trap this dude? And they can get out his hand, and then whoever guarding him, prevent him from getting the ball. Prevent him. Don't let him get it back. Make it time, because by that time, the shot clock is running down, and you making somebody who has not been doing that all the whole season become a playmaker. Right. Make him become a playmaker. And if he's not a playmaker, he's not going to make the right decision. So that's what they didn't do right. But I think Milwaukee's going to adjust in game six, and they'll come out and be a little bit better basketball team.
But here's the thing, GP, on that, because I thought the same thing you said. I'm like, what? Are you joking? Like, stop letting him shoot the ball. Make somebody else shoot the ball. Okay.
There you go.
You play three on the other four. I'm going to put two dudes on him. Play three on the other four. Now, but this is what I thought too, as I'm sitting there, I said, oh, I see. And I thought maybe they think that he's going to heat up. And that's why they did. That's why it was important when James Harden said, I will play. But James Harden couldn't hit the side of a barn. He was just short. You could just see everything was short. And I said, oh my God. Okay. So now go back, make sure, you know, if James Harden was hitting, okay, we got to watch both of these jokers. But he wasn't hitting anything. And it's late in the game. Put two dudes on Kevin. And let me say, I'll make James snap out of that slump or something. And they never did. This is what I was thinking about, though. This is what I'm thinking about. Now, there are times in a game like that, GP, you either want your moment or you don't.
Absolutely.
We couldn't have gotten through that whole game if you playing for Milwaukee without you going up to coach and say, I got him now. I'm gonna see it in the huddle. Everybody, I got him now. Why didn't Giannis ever go and say, I got him now?
I think you're right, Mike. I think Antetokounmpo, the Greek, the Freak, should have switched on him. He should have switched on him and got a bigger body on him. But I think that they should have been in him the same way. If that was me, I'd have said, Coach, let me get him and get him underneath him. I'm a pressuring from the time he get the ball in the backcourt and make it happen. All you have to do is tell me when the pick is coming, and the pick man has to stay up there and ride him off to the side, not let him go downhill. Let him ride off to the side. And once he bears off, I can recover to him. And then when when I recover to him, I'm going to get up underneath him. I'm going to make him put the ball where he can do this, but about 40 feet away from the bucket. So when he tries to swing through, I can step back, guard him. And then I'm still smaller than him, but then have a man floating around in the background trying to make him not see difficult stuff. And if he come at me, we trap him. So they got to adjust to that type of situation. But they should have put Drew Holiday on. Just have a smaller guy underneath his feet. Make him be uncomfortable. And then if he try to pull up over him, which he's going to do, have a big man sitting in the back seeing that he got a spy. It's just like almost like what you do in a safety in football. You got a spy looking at the quarterback. Or looking at the one that's going to run. And then if he start running, he's going to shoot up here and get him. So that's what they should have been doing. But they didn't do that at the end. And it hurt them. It hurt them bad. They lost a difficult game. And now they're down 3-2.
But I watch PJ Tucker. I watch PJ Tucker play LeBron. I said, this dude here brings a different thing now. Because he played just like you were talking about. He gets right up under them. He gets in their noise. And it messes with them. And you can see it disturbs them. And it was disturbed. I thought early on that game, GP, because, you know, I'm the emotion dude. I got to watch it. Just like you, I'm going to play with heart. Everything, want everything. I thought early on, I saw Kevin Durant go baseline. And PJ hit the ball. Ball knock, went out of bounds. Kevin Durant just backed up, didn't complain to the ref, and just walked the other way. I was like, oh, my God, he's intimidated. Because, you know, I'm trying. Any little thing, I was telling my producer how I used to do to every cornerback. I wanted him to come on up here and play me the first few plays. Because I'm finna slap the shit out of you. I'm going to slap the head right now. Emmitt can be running over to the right. I'm never going to affect that play whatsoever. This is just me and you. I'm in the discovery phase. I'm discovering mentality for this game. I'm just going to push you close on me. Wow. Hard as I can. It's going to hurt. And your reaction will tell me, if you run to the rail, that says somebody. You're scared. You're looking for help. You're scared. You're looking for help. Stop looking for help and come on back up here. You know what I'm saying? How you react is going to tell me something. When I saw Kevin Durant just go back, I said, oh, my God, he doesn't want this smoke. But then it turned, and he got aggressive. Soon as he got it, he put his head down and started going to the basket. And things changed, and that's where he got out of P.J. Tucker. Before P.J. can get up under him, he got the ball and started moving to the basket. And then when he just had that jumper fall, it was over. It was over.
But, Mike, you know what the big difference was that? You forgot earlier in this series, P.J. Tucker gave KD all the praise in the world that he's the best basketball player. He had already conceded to him. You remember when he tried to hit KG in the beginning of game one and two, KG laughed at him and smiled and all that. KG has no more respect for him. He doesn't have respect.
You don't think KD respects P.J. Tucker?
Not now. Because he gave him too much praise and too much respect. That's too much respect. You know what I'm saying? That's just like me telling John Stockton, man, ooh, man, you the best basketball player I've ever played against, man. You something else. I respect you to the fullest. That means I'm a sucker now. You know what I'm saying? So what happened is that KD did what he's supposed to do. He bagged up. He said, okay, I know this dude ain't going to really go at me because he respect me too much because he liked me. He liked me too much. So then when he got his time, he picked his right time. And then when he started seeing what TJ was doing, all of a sudden, TJ got soft on him. And then what did he do? He attacked him.
You're saying something here, man. You're saying something, too. You're saying a lot now. Because what I'm hearing is, and that's old school. I'm certainly of that ilk. I'm not, you ain't getting, boy, you, I ain't lifting you up one bit. Not to after I beat you. I'm saying, hey, he's one of the greatest. Because if I beat him, then what does that make me? I ain't lifting you up to after I beat you. And if I don't beat you, I ain't lifting you up. So what you just said, PJ Tucker, you're giving him too much credit. He doesn't respect you. PJ Tucker wasn't the only one giving him credit. Did you not hear the defense player of the year, Giannis? Giannis was saying he's the greatest in the world. After the game, greatest score in the world. You just got to hope he missed. Hey, wait a minute. I ain't no hoping. That's why you go play on him, and then I'm expecting. What do you mean hope he missed? How do you play great defense hoping somebody miss?
Well, you got to do that, though, right now, though, Mike, because right now these guys are too great of a shooter. You can't stop anybody. All you can do is contain them. You can't stop anybody. When I was playing against Michael Jordan, I never went in there and said, I'm going to stop him. I just said, I'm going to contain him, and I'm going to make him tired. So if you can get him off his game, if he can shoot 7 for 26, I've done something. But if you let him shoot 13 for 14, you ain't done nothing. You know what I'm saying? He gets 30 and 40. You know what I'm saying? But if I can get him to miss shots when I need to and I get him to thinking about me and I alter shots and I make him miss, I'm doing something then and I'm keeping him off the free throw line. That means I'm slowing him down. I'm never going to stop it. So if you get KD to get 28 instead of 46, I win the basketball game. Yeah. I was up 17. I stopped playing basketball. Milwaukee stopped playing basketball. And then all of a sudden, KD took over. That's just the problem. So all of a sudden now, if KD does, if you're slowing him down, he gets 28-30. That's 17, 16 points, 18 points he's got to have. We only lose by a little bit. I win the basketball game. So it's a big difference of stopping somebody and slowing them down. But he didn't slow him down. He didn't have no confidence because he didn't see nothing. All he seen was the bucket and a big old ocean, and he was just throwing it in there. That's it. He seen a big old ocean, and he threw it in there, and that was it.
Because I was talking about that one shot, the killer shot. I thought, there's no way he's pulling up. I know the clock was down. Clock was going down. I said, no way he's pulling up. Oh, my God. And then it looked like it was going to bang, and it, bloop, I said, oh, my God. I said, it's over. That's what I thought, just what you said. He sees an ocean now.
That's it. He sees nothing but ocean. And when you see, when a guy like that, him and Steph Curry and Dame Lillard, when you see something like that, it's over. Because when them three get on a roll like that, it's nowhere in the possible. It's nowhere in hell you're going to stop. It is what it is.
What could Giannis do? Giannis are now, because you know how this works, Gary. You guys hear, man. If you went in a game and somebody was going off and you didn't jump and play them, knowing that you 9-time All-Defensive Player of the Year, 9-time All-Defensive Team, and, you know, 1 Defensive Player of the Year, if you, everybody on the media going to say, what, I want to see get what Gary didn't jump. Well, everybody's saying that. So Giannis is going to be forced to. They tried to hide behind P.J. Tucker. But Giannis, if he gets in that situation, now he's going to be forced to go play him. How do you see that playing out if Giannis did try to guard Kevin Durant?
What I say is we did that in a day. Kobe did it. Myself did it. Jordan did it. Pippen did it. It is what it is. Superstar against superstar. Play it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think they got a better chance because it's two bigger bodies. He makes the shots more difficult for KD. He's longer. He makes him take different shots. He makes him put it on the floor. Let the referees decide if they want the two superstars to file out. Which one will file out? I like the matchup. Play it. Pick it up. Do what you got to do. Show us. We want that on TV. Let us see what's happening. Do what you got to do. I think that he should guard him. It's a bigger body. It's more athletic ability against more athletic ability. And let's see what happens.
But he'll have to play like you play on both ends and play hard like that against this monster makes it even more difficult. Speaking of a monster that played on both ends, man, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, man. Oh, my God, man, with the Clippers now. Let's just break. Where do the Clippers go from here? The Clippers got any chance without Kawhi Leonard?
No.
No chance. No chance.
No. I mean, you can let Paul George score 40. If they don't get no help from somebody else, they won't beat this Utah team. This Utah team is very athletic. The boy Mitchell was too good. He can score when he wants to. You got Gobert down there that's going to block shots. You got the other guys who are around him, who can shoot that basketball and do the big things. You got Clarkson coming off the bench who can score. You won't have a chance against him if you don't have nobody else who can help. This guy was averaging about 35 in Kawhi. He was getting booked to the bucket. He was making things happen. Paul, them two have to score almost 30 points a game for them to win. You've seen it. They both were scoring 31, 35, and they was winning. Now, if he doesn't play, which it looks like he might be out the whole season because it's the same knee that he reconstructed, it's a problem for the Clippers, and I don't think they'll make it.
Even for the Clippers moving forward, do you think that partnership between Kawhi and PG3 could win a championship, or do they need to start thinking another direction?
I think that what they need to do is they need to get some more players that could complement them. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's got the super teams. Them two are great together. I just think they need somebody else to complement them and get them something that can go give them. Don't give them some dog on getting rebounds. We'll get them some dog to give them some more three-point shoot. When they got rid of Lou Williams, I thought that hurt them because that was another player that could come in and score. I thought that was a bad move. Harrell, when he left, thought that was a bad move. You know what I'm saying? If you keep these players, yeah, you got a good chance. But then you break it up and then take away your coach, I think it's bad too.
I want to get to Chris Paul because I know you got a time, and I want to make sure I get over this here now. Your thoughts when you heard the Chris Paul story, that Chris Paul now goes into COVID protocol after all Chris Paul has gone through to get to this position. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Well, I thought it was crazy. But you know what? We let our guard down, Mike. And everybody does that. We start thinking because everybody got a vaccinated shot and stuff like that, you still can't get it. We got to think about what we're doing. And I think CP is older and he's around his kids. I don't think it happened. It might have been an issue. I think it was a slip up. There's a mistake. Somebody could have came around that was, you know, this. He didn't know it had it, and it slipped up. The good thing about it is, Chris Paul, if he has a vaccination shot, it's only going to be now only about what? He has to be about 4 or 5 days. So you got to think about it. They won't even start the Western Conference Finals until next week. So right. It doesn't matter. He did it right here. Today is Monday. I think this is his first day. So you do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's already 6 days. So I think he'll be just fine. I think it'll be okay, whatever, because even if Utah wins tonight and tomorrow, tonight and Friday, they'll probably start Sunday or Monday. So he'll be good. He only probably will miss one game, and then that'll be it. So I'm not really worried about that. Just let him know that make sure he's not real, real sick, and I think he'll be fine.
If he you started that with if he's gotten vaccinated, and if he hadn't got vaccinated, and that thing lingers a little longer than that, that could be devastating.
It could be.
Right. You come out, and even if you come out and you miss the first 2-3 games, and now you're down to 0-2, that could be devastating, man. I was like, I know we went a lot of ways with that vaccination. But if I'm in this playoffs and I thought my team had anywhere near a chance of getting in the playoffs, I would have gotten vaccinated right back then. Like, we're going to end it. I'm not going to let – if I'm going to get through all these hard, talented jokers, I'm not going to let COVID stop me right now. That I definitely would have done, you know. But it is what it is. You made the all-rookie team. Did you see that LaMelo Ball got rookie of the year?
I did see it. And it was well-deserving, Mike. The young boy was balling. And I like him. He's a true point guard. He thinks pass first, score late. And then I think he's a
but
little
he can score now. But he
yeah,
can score.
But I think he's a way better scorer than his brother is. Way better. I seen him when they were in high school, when all three of them played together in L.A. And I said the younger one is the better one. He's a dog. He can score the basketball, and I seen it from day one. For him to average 15 and 7 as a rookie, get hurt. He got hurt a good portion of the year. And then still win the rookie of the year because Edwards didn't come and start playing until almost the end of the year. LaMelo did what he was supposed to do. He set a trend. He said what he had to do. He showed people I can play. I'm not like with the other ones. I am the best. And I've been saying that already. I am the best. And he's going to be a good one, Mike. I'm going to tell you, he's going to be a special one because he can do it. He can play. He got confidence. He shoots a three now. He can get to the bucket. He knows how to finish. And he got assists. He's crafty with that basketball. I think he's going to be a good one.
And GP, he has that dog. Like when you if you playing around them, or when like you when you walk in, like okay, that dude they're different now. That dude they're a little different. You know, like you know, I don't know. Lonzo didn't want that. You know, Lonzo got a lot of great skill, talent, all that, but he ain't really want it. This dude looks like he run towards it. Put it on me. I got it. And I love to watch him play. I just wonder if he'll be able to spend his whole career in Charlotte, or will he be sometime one day soon running back to L.A.?
You know what he gonna do. But, Mike, these kids nowadays, they're talking about if they can't win it in one place and they're good like that, they want to move and go with somebody that they can win. So that's our era now. That's just the way it goes, Mike. When we were coming up, you knew we wouldn't go. You wouldn't be a free agent from Dallas and then fool around and go to the Washington Redskins.
I'm not doing that.
So we understand that and we get it. It's not like that anymore. These guys are too much of friends. They all buddy buddies. So they all plan on being with each other. We can't say that. That's why I look at my guy, Damon Lillard. He cut from a different cloth. He cut from the cloth I'm from. We are from Oakland. We're just tough, man. We ain't on it. We don't want to build up. We want to build our own program and build it to win a championship. That's what it is. That's why I was with Seattle so long. So it's not about that. I don't think he's going to do it. Charlotte doesn't get the pieces like that and put
together. But you didn't win in Seattle. Ultimately, you had to leave Seattle. And you did. You left and went and got you a ring. You don't think Damian Lillard should do the same thing?
No, because I don't think rings solidify us, though, Mike. We can look at Charles Barkley. We can look at John Stockton. We can look at Karl Malone. They didn't win rings.
Right.
They're still in the Hall of Fame. And one of the greatest basketball, the 50th greatest basketball players ever played. We're not talking. We don't care about that. I didn't win a championship because I ran into Michael Jordan when I lost in 96. Then what happened is the organization started saying we're not paying money. And we blew our team up. If our team would have stayed together, I think I would have won a championship in them years. But they didn't. They blew us up. That team that was great. You know what I'm saying? We were the second best team in the NBA, but as records high. But I thought our talent was just there with Chicago Bulls. But I'm just saying, it's a difference. It's got to be what Dame wants to do. If he wants to do that, but as I know him personally, and I know his dad personally, grew up with his dad, that he is not cut that way. I'm going to give you an example. When he was in high school, he was okay, mediocre. Only one team came after him, and that was Weber State. And when he started balling as a senior, every team in college, every college wanted him. Guess what he did? He said, no, man, y'all going away from me. Mm-hmm. Weber State was the only team, the only college that offered me something and believed in me. So I'm going to believe in them. I'm not going to backstab them and not go there because they was the first one that understood I have a talent. And that's where he went. And I know this kid, and he's going to do the same thing. That team took a chance on him with the 7th pick 9 years ago, and he's going to give them a chance to build something around him. And you got to understand, Mike, I'm so close to him. We got the same age. Right. So it is what it is. I introduced him to the agent, the good ones from Oakland, and we all together. So you know what I'm saying? So you know I know the inside scoop. That's how it is.
That's your boy. Now, I'm just saying, on a personal note, I wouldn't mind seeing him with Kawhi Leonard. And don't even think about sending him to the Lakers with LeBron. And that. But I'll leave him where you say he's going to be. But that would be interesting to see him with the way he shoots that basketball. Let me do this, man, because we're talking so much about these great talent and these young guys in the league right now. And you see the changes they're making at coach. Scott Brooks out in Washington. You see Van Gundy out in New Orleans. Because the players didn't attach and didn't like the coaching style. What are your thoughts when you hear that, speaking along the same line of these guys being different today?
Well, I hate people. The coaches get fired. That is just I don't get that. It's just an X and O's. I mean, I can understand if you take one of your superstars out at the end of the game and lose games and do that and be stupid. Right. You know, that's a little different. But when you got superstars that are making $30 and $40 million a year, and they just don't like the process and they don't do it, they're going to make a change. Because if they go up there complaining, they're not going to get rid of that $180 million they just gave to people. They're going to give away. They're going to get rid of that $3, $4 million I'm paying that coach. Right. It's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? So these coaches, but, you know, Van Gundy, he didn't get a chance to meet. It was 1 year. You got Zion Williamson. You got Ingram. You got some good players. He didn't get a chance. It just wasn't a fit. A lot of the players probably did come up and say, yo, we don't like the style. We need to do something else. But with Brooks, he had a lot of opportunities. He had a lot of opportunities to do a lot of things. They might have not got him the players that he was there, but he got two of them with Westbrook and Beal right now that they should be a little lot better. You know what I'm saying? And injuries take a big toll. But, you know how I go, Mike. You don't do the job here, you got to go. Yeah, it is what it is. And we got a lot of coaches' jobs open now because a lot of players. You remember, Mike, 2 years ago, Indiana got rid of Nate McMillan after they was the number two seed and they had a 50-win season and they just got rid of him just because. And then all of a sudden, look what happened.
Atlanta.
The first-year coach, he gets fired right now. So what are we talking about, man? I don't get it, man. What do you want to do? Let the players coach themselves in if that's the case. You know what I'm saying? And we'll see what up. You put the talent out there. You go sign them. Let the players sub themselves. And then you see what happens. But it's not like that no more in the NBA.
Yeah, and boy, one man's trash is another man's trash. Because, boy, I tell you, Atlanta, sure appreciate them letting Nathan Millen go. The way he's turned that thing. They sure appreciate it. Thank you for making that dumb call and letting us get this smart man. Hey, before I let you go, though, man, you're from Oakland, man. I got to ask you what's going on. What's going to happen with them Lakers, man? What's going to happen? You got the Laker right there, the poster behind you. You're in the Laker uniform with your Laker shoes right there. So I know you love the Lakers too. So just tell me what's going to happen with LeBron and them Lakers.
Mike, I don't think nothing's going to happen. You know, Pelinka came out and said, you know, we don't need nothing. It was just injuries that hurt us. And, you know, I think what they should do is they should get a little bit of more shooting. That's all they need. They need some shooters. They just need some shooters that if LeBron or AD gets hurt, they can get somebody to come in there and stick some shots. Right. They didn't have that. You know what I'm saying? And then when you get both of them that get hurt, it's hard. It's hard for these guys, like I said, who has never been in that situation to be a leader or be that guy and become a person where you just only doing one thing, like getting rebounds, and then you got – become a scorer, a rebounder, an assist man. That's hard to do. So I think if they keep them too healthy, which they probably will be, you know, but AD has been, his career been hurt.
Right.
You need to go get a pure shooter, a good, something else that you can get this year in the thing. I would go and try to trade for CJ McCollum. I'll try for somebody like that who will give us some more scoring.
Right.
When it's not when them guys are not in, you know,
and then let LeBron don't get, rest them can create without
letting rest
helping him score. Right,
you could bring a guy in like a Paul George who can just take over the game, and then when LeBron get back in, that's your sidekick again. You need a guy like that, and I think the Lakers need to go out and think about that. They need to explore. Need to explore if they can go trade for Bradley Beal or somebody like that. Who you got another third superstar? Because everybody's getting three superstars. That's what they're doing now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to go and try to do that. You know, they were talking about Damian Lillard. I don't think it can happen because it's too much money out there that on their books that it would the trade wouldn't make sense. But it is what it is. But they need that third guy who, if AD is not rolling, LeBron not rolling, he can come in and give you some buckets.
And put some points on the board.
That's it is.
And the Lakers, and LeBron already said, I will be back. So I'll look forward to next year to seeing what will happen. I know you got to get out, man. I don't want to kill all your time. I know you got a heart out here, and we've already run past it. So I just want to appreciate and tell you thank you for joining the show, man.
Man, Mike, you know you fam, man. Anytime you want me on here, man, let me know. We can chop it up again, man. We can do this a little longer, man, the next time. Shoot, have me on when it's over in the finals times or something, man. We'll get it cracking. We'll talk about
that.
It, man.
I'm going to definitely do that. GP, tell people about your podcast before you go, man, because I know you were working on doing your podcast before we came on.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I was doing it with Warren Sapp at first. Now Warren has moved to the football section, and I'm on the basketball section. We're on betusa.com. It's a great podcast. I'm giving you all the insights on basketball, doing everything you got to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, I just took the head job at Lincoln University out here in Oakland, California. I'm going to have my own podcast going on. I'm going to be doing that. When I get back on the next time, I tell you about the Lincoln University podcast and my first coaching debut. You know, yeah. I'm trying to do just like Dion down there at Jackson State. I'm trying to make a team come from nowhere in Oakland, California and do what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a hog. I'm going to have them hogs with me. Ha-ha!
GP, you got to go out and recruit, GP?
I got to recruit. But, you know, that ain't nothing, Mike. I can go into somebody's house and get a dog.
Yeah, ain't never. Wait. Especially coming from Oakland, you gonna have to go back in hoods to get you some dogs.
And I like it. You're the perfect fit
for it.
I like it. I'm gonna go in these hoods, man. And I'm gonna go talk to these people, man. You click and bring your son here. He'll be in good hands. I'm gonna be a second daddy, man. That's what I want.
Right. Got you. Right. Right. And I won't break off into it. I won't break off into it because I talk about it all the time. But that's exactly, dog. Just right quick. Right, what you talked about is what happened to a lot of our young brothers. Honestly, man, with 73% African-American moms having babies out of wedlock, and those kids don't have a father. And I tell people all the time, I say, listen, okay, this kid, now scrap this way up, all the way up, right? Now without a father. And now he's got to go and listen to some man, some man. And honestly, let's be real. Let me be real. Let me be totally real. Most of the time, it's a white man. And get this. And he's funny about white men because he heard his mom complain about her boss, who's probably white. You see what I mean? He's had a tough time in school with white guys. So now he comes into the college ranks and they say, oh, he has some problems. He has attitude problems. Not knowing all of his history, you know what I mean? What he's going through. So have a guy that have gone through that, man, and to be able to reach some of these kids and tell them, hey, man, listen. You got to listen to other men, white men, black men, period. This ain't got nothing to do with your father. That's your history. We trying to give you some destiny, some future. Let that go. Let's move towards tomorrow. So I appreciate you being in that position, buddy.
I appreciate you too, Mike, for even telling me that and letting me understand that and understand it. I grew up looking at you. I see you doing things and I see your past and what you have talked about. And then I come back to my past. I wanted to bring it on to these other young kids. Right. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it like a father. I'm going to tell them, even if they do have a father, I didn't teach you how to raise them. So don't teach me how to coach them. Let me make them another man another way, because they tired of listening to you sometime and then they don't have nobody to listen to. But I'm going to be that one that's going to be listening to them, understanding them. I've been through what you've been through a long time ago. You're a young kid. I got kids your age. So listen to what I'm saying, and I'm going to direct you to the right thing to get you to the top of the level, educational-wise and athletic-wise. You're going to be all right.
DP, you know what? You said something there, too. You're right. You're right, because my son ain't won't listen to me. I told this joker. I told you, we went down to Larry Fitzgerald every year to work out, right? Larry bringing me in to coach him. And I'm telling, do this. He don't want to listen to me. Larry talking to him. He like this.
Yep.
I said, hey,
that's
joker.
That's how they do it.
I said, Joker, Larry's trying to do what I did. Why can't you just listen to me? He ain't won't listen to me, though. But he listened to Larry.
My son do the same thing, man. So I let it go. And he will be a
Thursday
for you now. I'm with it. Go ahead, man. If somebody else going to tell you, man, you don't want to listen to a Hall of Famer, man, everything, you tripping anyway. You tripping. I'm going to get these kids that's going to want to listen to me. So I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good, GP. Hey, good luck with everything, man. I appreciate
Thank you, that. Man. Mike, appreciate you all the time, man.
Much love always, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's Geico.com.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now, let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guest. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!